Pastor Brian is away today. He's preaching out of town. Apparently, some other folks are too. They heard, word must have got out. Yeah. I was just sharing with the guys earlier about a pastor who went to a church and as a guest speaker, pulpit supply, the pastor was away or something, and nobody showed up but the janitor. And he said, I'm kind of incensed by this. Weren't the people told I was coming? The janitor said, no, but word must have got out. Well, it's good. I know I've been on the road a lot. I'm almost like a guest speaker now. But God has been opening up some great doors. Those of you who've been asking, my new book is out, Cry, Repent. If any of you are interested in picking up, you can check with me and I'll tell you how you can get it. But I'm looking forward to sharing the word with you this morning. Let's read the scriptures and then pray together, and then I'll just share about Caleb. It's a strange title, Caleb, the dog who climbed mountains. Let's stand together as we read from Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, this is beginning at verse 6. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. Listen to this old guy. I am 85 years old, and I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day how the Anakim were there and with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we look into your word, I pray that something from the life of Caleb will excite something in someone's spirit today, that that they will believe that the strength of the Lord strengthens them no matter where they are or how weak they feel. In Jesus' name, amen. We're all working and walking toward various goals in our life. And a lot of times people start well. They work hard toward a goal. And I've got a little tickle this morning, so I'll be wetting it periodically. But somewhere along the way, they get discouraged. Sometimes we come all the way to the brink of victory. We stop a day too soon, a moment too soon. When the moment comes for the dream to come to pass, they miss it. And I'm wondering this morning if you're stuck in life at some point. Are you finding roadblocks to the fulfillment of your promises, or have you lost the courage to move on? I'll tell you a little bit about Caleb. Caleb was born in Egypt. He was born into slavery. He was born under the whip of Pharaoh. It was a tough life. It was not an easy life. Caleb was certainly not a man of privilege. He was 40 years old when he left Egypt with the Israelites. And after that, he spent 40 years in the wilderness, in the desert place, which was even more difficult. And by the time we come to the book of Joshua, Caleb and the Israelites are actually in the promised land. They have begun the process of inhabiting the land, of conquering the cities there. They've taken possession of most of the promised land, yet there's a few territories still held by the enemy. We read the scriptures. Here's what Caleb did. He came and he said to Joshua, "Now then," listen carefully to his words, because it may strike something with you. "Now then, just as the Lord promised, He has kept me alive for 45 years since the time He said to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am, 85 years old. I'm here to claim my promise." You know, Caleb was a man of unique character. He believed God's promises. I'm wondering how many of us, when we feel that God has promised us something, not something that we've promised ourselves and then asked God to take care of it, but something that God has promised us. Now he spent 45 years, 40 years after the promise was made, wandering around in the wilderness. Now they've been in the land for 5 years. It's almost all conquered. And Caleb comes to Joshua, 85 years old, and says, "I'm ready to go in. Moses promised me that hill country up there." The country was known as the land of Hebron, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. It was hill country. It was mountainous country, and would have been tough land to take militarily because the enemy was ensconced in the high country. They had the high ground. They had the advantage in battle. And now comes Caleb, 85 years old. Can't you see it? Now I'm 70. Most of you thought I was just in my early 40s, but I'm 70 years old. Well, a few of you may have been more informed. And I find it remarkable, and I believe that I'm a man of faith. I find it remarkable that Caleb could come in, stand in front of his buddy Joshua, and say, "Here I am, I'm 85 years old, and I'm ready to go to war." That's just kind of how my imagination, it probably wasn't like that at all. But God had made a promise to Caleb. And the promise had not yet been fulfilled. But if you know, if we look back in the historical characters that we read about in the scriptures, a lot of those guys got promises that didn't get fulfilled until many years later. You know, we live in the culture of instant oatmeal. Instant grits. How many of you like grits? Oh, come on. Robin likes grits. Yeah. Who knows? Pretty soon you're going to be able to go to the store and buy a can of instant water. We want everything now. We watch on the television, and the guy on the television says, "You need this fancy red sports car now. You need it. You deserve it. You ought to have it. And for 7 years of high-level payments, it can be yours. But don't worry about those. We'll make it easy for you." Caleb was a guy, listen to me, Caleb was a guy who hung on to the promises of God for 45 years. Now, some of us have been clinging on to things for a year and we're getting discouraged. Or 2 years, or 5 years, and we get discouraged. We're ready to quit. God didn't keep His promises. I had a fellow come to me one time and says, "You know, this tithing thing doesn't work." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, the Bible says if you bring the tithes into the storehouse, God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing as I can't contain." He said, "I started tithing last month and nothing's happened." Come on, God, get with the program. You made a promise. How many of you ever made a promise to your kids? And within 5 minutes, are we there yet? When are we going to do that? When are we going to go? Let's go, let's go, let's go. We couldn't get Katie to get her coat on last night till somebody said ice cream. Into the coat, ready to go. Caleb was a courageous man. He had the courage to move on at every stage in his life. At every stage in his life. And so this morning, I want to look at three stages of Caleb's life and just give you some exhortation to it. You know, in World War II, General George S. Patton said, "Courage is fear hanging on just a minute longer." Hanging on just a minute longer. If you give in to your fears, you're on the path to defeat. The minute you bend before that fear, defeat has begun. Instead, if you stand strong in spite of your fear, and by the way, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the willingness to continue even when I'm afraid. Men who go into battle don't go into battle without fear. They just don't allow their fear to overcome the need for which they go into battle. We have God standing with us to give us courage to move on. Well, I want to give you three things concerning Caleb that can help us have the courage to keep on keeping on. In 50 years of ministry, I just shared this with you from my heart. I've seen too many people that I love quit. Come out of addiction, they've come out of alcoholism, they've come out of some drug addiction, or they've come out of some other situation in their life, and they start well, and boy, they sing all the songs, and they come to all the meetings, and they're all enthusiastic, and then one day, they're just not there anymore. What happened? Well, got too hard. I've heard people say to me, this faith thing is too hard. I'm just going to go back. What are you going to go back to? You know, some of these people, and we'll talk about them in a minute, they wanted to go back to Egypt. They said it was easier in Egypt. They had forgotten how bad it was. And some of you and some people that we know and love all of a sudden start romanticizing how good life was in their old life. And it's a lie. It wasn't good. There's nothing to go back to. Jesus said to his disciples after people started deserting him and they started going back and into their old life and getting away from him because the way was getting a little difficult. And Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "Will you go too? Will you leave me too?" I love what Peter said. He said, "Where would we go? For you and you alone have the words of life." Where would you go? What would you go back to? And what kind of liar is telling you that it was better the way it used to be? Well, let me give you these three things before I run off on too many bunny trails. First of all, Caleb had the faith to forget the past. How many people here in this place this morning got a past? Yeah, we've all got one. Some of us have a past that's a little more colorful than others. But we've all got a past. Somebody say amen. Amen. I got a past. Some of you talk about your past. Some of you don't want to ever talk about your past. And some of us get frozen in our past. I believe this with all my heart, that there are people, even under the sound of my voice, who are paralyzed because of something that happened in the past. Well, Caleb had the faith to forget the past. When Caleb moved on in his life, he moved on in the promises of God, and he had the courage to forget whatever was behind him. You know, we find Caleb, first time we find him is in Numbers chapter 13. And in Numbers chapter 13, Caleb and Joshua were two of 12 men who were sent into the promised land. Listen carefully here, because there's something really interesting here. God told Moses and Joshua and the people and Aaron, he told them what was in the land. He said, it is a land that is rich, it is fertile, wonderful crops, wonderful rivers, wonderful vineyards. It's a wonderful, beautiful land. And he told them, there are enemies in that land, which you're going to have to go in and drive them out. But don't worry, I will go with you into the promised land. I will go with you. So now they come to the border of the promised land. What, somebody trying to call me there, girl? Tell them I'm busy. I left it back there. I didn't. God told them, he says, I'm going to bring you to it. I'm going to bring you through the wilderness. I'm going to bring you to it. And then I'm going to bring you into it. I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to help you conquer the land. And the next thing you know, they're going in to spy out the land. Why in the world did they need spies to go into the land to see what kind of land it was? God had already told them what kind of land it was. God had already told them what kind of enemies were there. And he had already told them that he was going to give them the power and the strength and the might to overcome these enemies, that together they would drive them out. So anyway, the spies went in, they spied out the land, and the spies came back and they gave their findings. They all gave the same facts. Yes, it's a beautiful land. Yes, it's a fertile land. Yes, there are wonderful crops and wonderful vineyards and wonderful streams. It's a beautiful land that is exactly as God described it. There are enemies there. There are armies there. They all gave the same facts, but two of them gave a different report than the other ten. Joshua and Caleb said, it's just like God said, and if God is with us, we can go in and take the land. The other ten said, oh, no. No, 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 no. These guys are big. They are powerful. They are strong. My goodness. And here's a quote. You can read it in the scriptures yourselves. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers before them. They didn't say we are small as grasshoppers and they're giants, they're big. But he said we were so intimidated by them that we saw ourselves as grasshoppers. We can't do it. We can't go in. Well, you know the rest of the story. The people rebelled. Turned back. They believed the interpretation of the facts by those 10 spies. The majority report said, let's not go in. We can't take the land. You know, there's a big move right now in America to go to abandon the Electoral College and just go to a majority vote. If anybody would just read the Bible, you would find out that every time the majority prevailed, trouble followed. There is this misnomer today that the majority is right. It's almost never true. The majority is almost never right. The majority is usually just a bully. But Caleb said, he stepped forward with this positive report. He said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Caleb was a man of faith. Here's what happened. When the report came in, we can't go in, we can't take it. Now listen, they've done 40 years in the wilderness. They all started to say, let's go back to Egypt. Let's just find another leader. This one's gone crazy. Let's find another leader and go back to Egypt. It wasn't all that bad back in Egypt. You see, they were thinking about the past. But Caleb had already forgotten the past. He said, that's in the past. I'm not going back to the past. I'm not going to return to what I was. Caleb had turned his back on Egypt. He had turned his back on his past. The Lord said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62 says this, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. We are called to keep moving forward. And let me tell you something. If God has placed has led you to a certain place. He's led you to a certain decision, and you have started following along, and now you've come to a place to where you're seeing giants and you're feeling timid about going ahead. Stop thinking it was better back then. It's always better moving ahead. Keep pressing on. The Lord said to the invalid who had been crippled for 38 years, "Rise up, take your bed and walk." The Lord told him to take his bed. There's no turning back for this moment. There's no relapse in this thing. There's only forward. There's only going forward. You and I need to forget the past. Listen to me. There's somebody here this morning that I'm speaking right to you. You need to forget the past because it's keeping you from moving forward. It's like an anchor. It's like a brick with a chain around your ankle, and you can't move forward. I love what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. He said, "This one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind and moving forward to that which is ahead." Paul said, "I got a past. I've left it all behind." As a matter of fact, if you read the whole context of Philippians 3, Paul said this, "Every advantage I had, everything I had in the past, I've turned my back on it. I left behind. I don't look at it anymore. I don't think about it anymore. I'm not burdened by it anymore. I'm not depressed by it anymore. I'm not held down by it anymore. I'm free of it because of the blood of Christ." The Word of God says, if the Son of Man sets you free, you are free indeed. And there are people who listen to me. I don't know if they're in this room, if they're on that Facebook feed or whatever, but I'm telling you, stop being paralyzed by your past. Caleb had the courage to move beyond his past, to forget his past. You know, memory is a wonderful thing. We all have good memories, and maybe you're facing a challenge in some of the memories aren't so good. You know, an old man, I read the story about an old man who moved in a retirement community. He's finally realized he couldn't live at home anymore by himself, so he moved into a retirement community to spend the rest of his life. And he met a lady. And boy, she really caught his eye. He really liked her. And they spent a lot of time together, I don't know, playing Scrabble and cribbage or riding golf carts around. I don't know what they do. But finally, one evening, he proposed to her. He said, "Would you marry me?" She said, "Yes, I'll marry you." Poor guy, the next morning he woke up remembering that he had proposed, but he couldn't remember what her answer was. He didn't know if she said yes or no. So finally he went to her and he said, I'm really embarrassed to ask you this. He said, "I know I proposed to you last night, but I don't remember what you said." She said, "Whew, I'm so glad you talked to me. I knew somebody proposed to me last night, but I couldn't remember who it was." Sometimes it's good to forget. And there's some things that some of us in this room need to forget and not plan on going back to. Two things. I've spent more time on this than I planned to. Forget your success. You cannot park on your success. The success of today means nothing for tomorrow. Don't park on your success. Don't live the rest of your life saying, "Well, back in 2019, I did something really good. I haven't done anything since, but it was really good." Don't park on your success. Forget past successes. You know what Paul said? I forget everything. He didn't say, "I just forget the bad stuff." He said, "I'm leaving everything behind," because what he listed was his successes. He listed all the things he had to brag about. He listed all the things that he felt good about. He listed all the things that made him fill up with self-importance. He said, "I've left all that behind." He also says, forget your past failures. Anybody here ever fail? One or two of you. The rest of you need to work on your lying thing. Someone said, The guy that's never fails, never tried. Child of God, don't worry about your past failures. Now, I'm speaking truth to you here. Don't worry about your past failures. Don't worry about your past sins. And don't worry about your shortcomings. God is able to forgive you and is lending you a hand of hope. Don't allow your past failures to defeat you. Peter failed God. Peter failed Jesus. When the chips were down, Peter denied that he even knew Jesus. And yet, Jesus used Peter. You know, I just released a new book called Cry, Repent. I believe in that message so much. Here's the power of repentance. The Word of God says that if we will confess our sins to God and repent, turn from them. Here's the exact quote from 1 John. He is faithful to forgive. Somebody say, praise God. I'm going to tell you, I've sinned in my past. I'm not living there. I'm not bound by it. I'm not oppressed by it. I'm not depressed by it. I'm not feeling bad about myself. You know why? Not because I wasn't guilty, but because I went to a fountain filled with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and my sins are washed away. They do not exist anymore. Why would I still live there? Stop living in the past. Start living in the very present. And by the way, Caleb also had faith to face the present. He had the courage to move on. He had the courage and the faith to face the facts of everyday life. Christian life finally comes to the practicality of everyday living. Friends, how do you respond to every situation, every circumstance, the challenges of life? Caleb had some challenges. He had come through a tough desert. He'd been on a hike for 40 years, wandering around through the wilderness. God's presence was with them, but it was not easy. They were attacked by snakes and scorpions. They didn't have a sufficient supply of water. The journey was long and tiresome. They were attacked by hostile communities. Remember, Caleb had survived 40 years in the wilderness. The entire generation that came out of Egypt with Caleb, except Joshua, died in the wilderness. Other than Joshua, there was nobody with Caleb who left Egypt. He'd been on a tough walk. The negativity of people around you. How many of you get depressed when people around you are negative? And the 10 spies came with a negative report. Look at the attitude of Caleb. Caleb didn't get beat down by him. He said, come on, stop it. We should go in. We should possess the land. We can certainly do it. Numbers chapter 1, verse 46 says that some 603,550 men, besides women and children, left Egypt. And when they come to this place, only three of them had a positive report. Ever feel like you're standing alone? You know, when you stand alone, you stand for something. He had to deal with the challenge of aging. When Caleb took up his last battle, he was 85 years old. Age didn't seem to matter to Caleb. The Jews divided old age into three stages. 60 to 70 was the commencement of old age. Oh my gosh. I'm there. It started. Old age. 60 to 70 is the commencement of old age. 70 to 80, oh, wait a minute. Did they have to include that in both of them? 70 to 80 was advanced age. Overused and unoriginal. A man over 80 was well stricken in years, says the Word of God. Caleb was 85. I'm incensed that I have to be included in these statistics. This is the time that most of us are going to be using sticks to walk. He was aging, but he kept his mind young. Caleb took care of himself. He was strong and fit. Do you know he was of non-Hebrew descent? Caleb was a descendant of Esau, but had joined himself to the people of God, and I'm sure had to prove himself over and over again. He had some personal hindrances. Do you know that Caleb had to live with a rotten name? Caleb is Hebrew for dog. Oh, how he must have loved his daddy when he named him. I'm sure he went out in the morning, stuck his head out of the tent, and went, "Here, Caleb! Here, Caleb! Come on, boy!" He heard that he had a son who was born to him in Goshen, Egypt. He would have thought, what in the world is the use of a son? Sons are being attacked by Pharaoh. Even if he survives, it's going to be a dog life as a slave. So he named him Dog. In the ancient world, dogs are often mentioned in very negative terms as lowly animals with little honor. But some texts in the Bible use the term dog as a metaphor for humility and faithfulness. And in this context, the name means faithful servant. I didn't give you that answer a while ago, Robin, because I wanted to save it. It means faithful servant. Every day when people call him, he had to face the reality of his name. But Caleb decided if he was going to be called dog, he'd be the Lord's dog. A good dog knows his master. Caleb decided he would follow the Lord wholeheartedly. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses gives the review of Israel's wandering experiences after the Exodus versus a comparison statement concerning Caleb. Listen to this. "The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did in Egypt, before your very eyes, and in the wilderness. And there you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. In spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on the journey in fire by night and cloud by day to search out the places for you to camp and to show you the way that you should go. Now, Caleb is old and he is in the promised land, but some portion is yet to be won. The Anakites were still in the land of Hebron. They were giants. The giants were living in the very best place in the land, in the hill country called Hebron. And Caleb picked the toughest enemy and the best land, and he said, that's the place I want. And for 40 years, Caleb was waiting and dreaming and planning to take Hebron. Now listen to some interesting facts. Hebron means communion. Caleb also had the faith to face the future. He wasn't afraid of what lay ahead. He had chosen a piece of land. He says, I want Hebron. I don't want to go back to Egypt. And he was in the midst of people that all wanted to go back to the old ways. They all wanted to go back to the old life. They all wanted to go back to Egypt. But Caleb said, I want to go higher. I want to be in communion with God. Give me Hebron. It literally means a place of association. When David was anointed king, he said to the Lord, he asked the Lord, where should I build my palace? Where should I live? And the Lord told him, David, you build your palace in Hebron, the place of communion, the place of fellowship with God. And we know that few men in the Scriptures have ever had the fellowship with God that King David had. He lived in fellowship with God. 40 years killed the rest of them, but they did not kill Caleb. They grew old, but Caleb stayed young. The giants in the promised land made Israelites look like grasshoppers. But Caleb focused his attention on God. For 40 years, in his mind and in his heart, he lived in Hebron. He wasn't there yet. He hadn't taken the land yet. But he kept looking at those mountains. Even after they went into the land, for 5 years he looked at those hills. And in his heart and his mind, there in the promised land, Caleb is dreaming of Hebron now. While the other Israelites are satisfied with little victories, Caleb wanted the hill country of Hebron. Do you know, the enemy, the toughest enemy to conquer is a fort on the hill. you can spot the enemy from different directions. Also, climbing the mountain is a mammoth task. I had the privilege of seeing several people in excess of 85 years old this week, and I'm fairly sure most of them had problems getting from the car to the door they were going in. And Caleb was saying, give me a mountain to climb. Give me an enemy to defeat. Give me an answer to my prayer. Caleb knew what God had promised him, and he was willing to take up that promise. Paul said it this way. He said, I'm not living my Christian life aimlessly. I have a purpose. There is a goal. I want to see Christ. I want to be like Christ. Christ is my prize. This is your Hebron, to be conformed to the image of Christ. This is your Hebron, to live in fellowship with God. This is your Hebron, to be in constant communion with Him. Caleb had faith for the future. He had the faith to say, God, I want you to give me my part of the land. I want Hebron. Yes, but Caleb, there are giants there. Caleb would say, I know it. I was one of the spies. I saw the giants. I know they're there. I have a chance now. Before, I didn't have a chance. Before, my brothers held us back. Before, my brothers put a wet blanket on things. But they're not here now. They're all dead now. Give me my land. I tell you that having a purpose in God will keep you young. It will keep you vital. It will keep you alive. He said, I'm going to drive them out now, even though I'm 85 years old. The question is, did Caleb take the land? Of course he did. Joshua 15, verse 14. From Hebron, Caleb drove out the three Anakites. Shishai, these guys should have been killed, given the names they've got. Imon and Talmai, the sons of Anak. Caleb drove them out. Hebron became his possession. God was greater than the giants. Say it with me. God is greater than the giants. Let's make it personal. God is greater than my giants. I don't know what kind of giants you're facing today, but God is greater than your giants. They cannot keep you from the promises God has given you. They cannot keep you from the promises God has given you. Your age cannot keep you from the promises if they've not been fulfilled. Your disability, your past, they cannot keep you if God is with you. Caleb made great decisions in the walking years of his life. Caleb had great dedication in the working years of his life. And Caleb had great determination in the weaker stage of his life. Caleb finished strong. I'll close. Friends, anybody can start a race. I tell my boys all the time, I can run just as fast now as I could when I was 18 years old, for about 100 feet. We don't necessarily finish strong always physically, but we can always finish strong in Him. Let me just share this illustration with you, and I'll close with it. The Amazon River starts 112 kilometers from the Pacific Ocean in the snow-filled Andes of Peru. David Cressy could probably tell me this from the beginning, but I looked it up, David, so anyway. The river travels for 6,437 kilometers through Bolivia, Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, and Brazil before emptying itself into the Atlantic Ocean. The origin of the river is a very small, tiny drizzle, which then draws water from 200 other streams. By the time it gets to Brazil, it rushes with great force, and the river refuses to die. The Amazon is 145 kilometers wide before it drops into the Atlantic Ocean, and the currents of the force of the river can be seen 320 kilometers into the Atlantic Ocean. It hits the ocean with such force that it pushes itself over 300 kilometers out into the Atlantic Ocean. Now, Let me tell you something. We're not only talking about age here. We're talking about legacy. Because it wasn't just Caleb that went into those mountains. It was Caleb and his sons. They went into that mountain together. And I believe that Caleb left a legacy. It may have started small, but it finished big. This is Caleb's life, and this can be our life too, if we have the courage to move on. Remember, courage to move on will come if we decide to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. That was Caleb's testimony. I followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Moses said, I'm going to give Caleb what he wants because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. I pray along with you that when the epitaph of my life is written, it will read that I followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Here's how we follow wholeheartedly every day. We make a commitment to follow God, even when we have to go against the flow. I'm going to repeat each of these once. We make a commitment to follow God, going even against the flow. Secondly, we accept the sovereign choices of God. We accept the sovereign choices of God. Number three, we act eagerly upon God's promises. We act eagerly on God's promises. Number four, we're willing to tackle the tough turf. Caleb didn't say, give me that fertile, easy land over there. He said, give me a mountain. Give me an enemy to defeat. He didn't choose the easy turf. And fifth, be a lifetime follower of God. A lifetime follower of God. I'm going to follow him all the days of my life. Paul said this, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting which is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's our banner. That's the scripture we should run on. I haven't got it all yet. All the promises haven't been fulfilled yet. All the victories haven't been won yet. All the things that I've been called to do haven't been accomplished yet. But I forget what is behind. I don't get paralyzed by my past. I press on to the calling of God. And you know, when Paul wrote to Timothy, in 2 Timothy, he wrote a letter, my favorite book in all the Bible. This is what Paul said. He said, I'm ready. I have nothing left to do. I have no regrets. I didn't leave anything behind. I didn't park in the past. I didn't get terrified by my future. I just kept facing forward. I didn't get terrified by my present, rather. I just kept facing forward to the future. And as Paul said in that prison cell, knowing that the next step would be his execution, he said to young Timothy, I'm ready. I've done everything I was called to do. I've done what God called me to do. I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering. There's nothing left to do. How many people have been faced with a death sentence, a diagnosis that says you're going to die, and the immediate response is, but I have so many things that I want to do. I pray that every one of us would come to the place to where we would say, I have nothing left to do. I've done everything God gave me to do. Amen. He had the faith to face the future. Have the faith to face the future. And you may be, Steve, if you guys are going to close us with a song or something, come on. You may be faced with a future and you're afraid of it. You're tenuous. You're maybe facing it with a sense of foreboding or anxiety or whatever. Have the faith to face the future. Jesus, the Lord said to the Israelites as they were going into the promised land, I will go with you. I will go with you into the future. I will go with you. I'm right there. I'm with you. So it didn't matter what you're facing. He's with you. Some of you are having it tough. I understand that. Caleb had it tough. But God went with him. God was there. Some of you may have a tough assignment. Maybe right now, and this is just, I want to close with this. Maybe right now you are paralyzed. You're literally stuck. You're unable to go on with God because of something that happened in your past. Maybe you did it. Maybe somebody did it to you. I don't care. Don't be paralyzed by the past. Be set free by the blood of Christ and be able to look forward to the future. Your past is behind you. It cannot come back to you. It cannot haunt you. You've been cut free from it. The Lord cut the shackles. They're gone. You don't have to live in the shadow of that wickedness of your past or even the wickedness of things that were done to you as a past. So many people, I ache for so many people who say, I want to follow Jesus, but there's this scar. There's this stain. There's this wound. And I'm telling you this morning with all of my heart, the scars can be healed. The stains can be cleansed. And everything can be washed away. Do not live in the past. Live in the future. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that we will not live in the future. I live in the past. That we will not live in fear of the future because of our past. Or even because of our present. Even the present that we're living in right now does not define the future. Because you're the God who redeems. You're the God who buys back. You're the God who delivers. You're the God who sets free. So, Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, set us free. Set us free from the past. I'm not going to ask people to stand up, but I just right where you are. If there are issues of your past that are limiting your view of the future, I'm praying for you right now. I want you to receive this prayer in faith. Lord Jesus, if there is anyone in this room or listening to me on the live feed that is imprisoned by their past, Holy Spirit, right now, in the name of Jesus, go set that person free from the past. Sever the chains, heal the wounds, anoint the scars with your oil, that they might be like baby skin, and that there would not be a person who would leave this place today wounded, broken, scarred, chained by the past. But they would leave this room knowing, wherever I'm going in the future, God is with me, and He will see me through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Steve, just close this with a song.